Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, 3 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Motete Tulari. I want to OPEC. I mean, OPEC Plus says they're going to help us with oil price. How much so? Maybe the Rand is actually our better bet for helping with petrol. Alan Solomon, he's CFO at Capital Appreciation. Results, terminal sales continue to soar. A great little business. So then the price has been doing well. And then some thoughts for me, offshore ETS versus individual shares and that knowledge gap. We'll talk about that as well. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Tax season will be shorter this year. Taxpayers are advised to get ready sooner rather than later because seems SARS is not yet ready. Business Day, SA signs off on first emergency power projects. It's going to add 150 megawatts baseload solar power to the grid, take another 14 to 20 months. 150 megawatts. We got mines who are doing bigger numbers than that. Or maybe the same numbers, but this is happening slowly. Morning markets. US is going to be closed again today. It is Queen's Jubilee. US was green last night. S&P up 1.8%. NASDAQ up 2.75%. Asia is green. Sydney up 0.75%. Tokyo just over 1% higher. Commodities, green. Gold, $1,872. Brent, $117.39 a barrel. Platinum, 1,025, back above 1,000, and palladium soaring 2,060. Rand 1545. Top 40 looking for about 750 points to the upside. That's about 1.1% as Tencent trades down 0.4% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Motete Tulari, head at FX Execution RMB. Motete, appreciate the early morning time. Petrol price went up this Wednesday. I suspect we're all walking a lot more than we used to. OPEC Plus promises to come to the party. They're going to up their July and August outputs from 400,000 to 650,000 barrels a day. Of course, this includes Russia, but the market, the oil market, sort of shrugged, and oil's Brent still 117.
Morning, Simon. You're very much right. I think the oil cartel and obviously the allied producing countries, including Russia, they've said they're going to raise that by 650,000 barrels per day just in July and August. So that's only going to offer a modest relief for a global economy that I think, over the past couple of months has suffered from soaring energy prices and obviously the resulting inflation. I mean, that, energy prices, you see it even across in the coal market as well. So, despite the decisions to step up the pace by OPEC Plus and restoring the cuts, these cuts were made during the worst times in the pandemic recession. So remember that the group has been adding steadily 400,000 barrels per day each month to gradually restore production cuts since 2020 when COVID-19 set in. Now, this move to actually increase production faster than anticipated comes obviously on the rise of higher crude prices that have pushed petrol prices globally to record highs. I mean, we talk about petrol prices here, also in the US, that's also elevated petrol prices to their worst levels. So the elevated prices, I think they are a threat to the global economy, especially as we're emerging from this pandemic. For both companies and households, I mean, that's going to reduce activity to deflect these costs. So, it's quite interesting that even the likes of Germany, the government there has sought to soften the blow to the consumer, especially from their energy inflation, by actually launching a deeply discounted transit pass that enables unlimited use of local trains, subways and buses for €9 per month. This is obviously just shows you, I mean, we talk locally about how we've actually had a discount in the fuel levy. even countries like Germany, they're also facing the same issue. So nonetheless, I suppose it is a global problem. Even in the US, I mean, we're getting to a season where all the drivers are going to be, getting into their cars. The truck drivers are also going to be, on the roads. And obviously, as we say, gasoline prices are at their record highs globally. So it's not like we're the only country that is facing this unfortunate situation where we've got high gasoline prices.
Yeah, and I take the point. I mean, OPEC's doing a little, but at this point, not very much. And it is still, we need a lot more oil out there. They're apparently liking the price. Does the Rand save our petrol price then? I'm looking at the Rand chart. We've been eking stronger. I mean, it's sort of ever so slowly, but after what, earlier in the year, in fact, back in May, we were sort of north of 16. We're now down at 15.45. That's helping, but the Rand is not looking like it's going to tear away to, I don't know, 14.50, 13.50.
No. Look, I think if anything, the old adage, sell in May and go away, really held, held itself in May. I mean, the Rand is holding up relatively well. I think we are consolidating after touching that 16.35 that we saw about 6 weeks ago. The flare in worries in global inflation, obviously that's continuing. But I think from a local front, I mean, if you've seen just the local unemployment numbers, that is something to cheer on. What we've had from the likes of S&P, in terms of the ratings agencies, that is something to cheer on. And also, we saw the Rand gain now. I think now it's actually a third straight day gain after the increase in the APSA PMI index, which obviously showed a significant recovery in the new sales orders index. That also indicates that, domestic demand is obviously returning to normal after the floods that we've seen out in KZN. And obviously, despite the nitty-gritty issues of electricity supply, line load shedding, and also there's more exports as the port operations at Transnet are resuming, and I think that is also another issue that if we can get that one better done, and obviously have even some of the private rail operators coming in and helping Transnet, that could also alleviate the situation. But also remember that the market focus for today will be on the US non-farm payrolls. Yeah. That will obviously drive the Rand. And obviously, I think also another key issue that we need to look out for is the US inflation. I mean, if that persists throughout this year, the dollar could be the main beneficiary based on parallels, to other historic periods that we have seen. And that could also drive the dollar to even higher levels. But obviously, at this point in time, it's a wait and see game. It's a data dependent game. And obviously, dependent on what the likes of Jerome Powell and the guys say at the Fed, and obviously what happens in terms of the COVID situation, all the other permutations that happens out in this market with the geopolitical tension, etc. So there's a lot that is still coming, and I think that even from a Rand front, now in the last 6 months of the year, and obviously it also means it's a political season for us as we go into the ANC's policy conference next month, and obviously the elective conference in the close of the year. So it also could be very interesting to see how we see the Rand play itself out.
Yeah, and we've got that US inflation for May coming next Friday, 8:30 in the morning their time. It'll be early afternoon for us. That's a number we're going to have to watch very closely. Is it starting to come down? The evidence is yes, but very slowly. Mateta Tulari, head FX execution at RMB. And that's our poll today around OPEC Plus. What do you think of OPEC? I mean, is this going to work? Are they relevant? Can they pump enough? Or is it more actually just a case of, looking at what petrol, we wish them all the best, I suppose. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chilling now with Alan Solomon. He's CFO at Capital Appreciation. Results out for year ending March, revenue up 34.1%. Headline earnings per share up 29.6%. Dividend of 3.75 cents makes for 7.5 cents for the full year. Alan, appreciate the time this morning. A lot of impressive numbers here. I mean, the one that perhaps stands out and you touted top of the results is terminal sales up another 51%. You're making significant strides in getting terminals into the hands of clients. And of course, this then earns an annuity income of sorts going forward for the group.
Good morning, Simon. Thank you for allowing me to join your show this morning. Yes, we're very pleased with the results for the year 2022, which we believe comes after the significant impact of the COVID pandemic over the past 2 years. We've seen growth, substantial growth for that matter, in our terminal sales. In a growing market, which is very encouraging. We've seen more competition emerge in the payment device space in South Africa, and we believe that competition is very healthy. It's the lifeline of the free enterprise system, and it's made the market a bigger place, and we've been able to capitalize on growing market share and through the efforts of our teams deliver very strong terminal sales.
As we move out of COVID, we were chatting, and I remember probably it was a year and a half ago, maybe it was even 2 years ago, when we were still in deep COVID, and it was really, really tough, and it was tough for everyone. But are you starting to see sort of spending patterns returning to normal?
Yes, I think consumers are starting to spend. I think they're starting to maybe not spend excessively on luxury items, but they definitely are spending. I think retail is improving. People are starting to travel again. And all these need payment-related terminals and similar ways of making payments. And so we're definitely seeing a kick in retail activity. And it's all as well for us currently and hopefully going forward.
Your operating margins are improving, and I imagine this is a large part. It's around the benefit of scale and some operating efficiencies from the business as well. But obviously, as you scale up, those margins will tick higher.
Scale obviously emanates from increased volume of activity. But I think what we as executives at Capital Appreciation decided 5-6 years ago was that we were going to, at the expense of headline earnings, we were going to improve our and extend our capacity. We were going to invest in people. We were going to invest in premises, infrastructure, so that we would be ready to take advantage of any uptick in market activity. And we've done that continuously over the past 5 years. We might have been criticized that our expenses were abnormal over those five-year periods. But that's definitely given us the capacity to meet demand as it arose.
A touch offshore quickly. It was June of last year, you opened an office in Amsterdam, if I recall. When we chatted 6 months ago, it was only just open. It's now got some activity behind it. How's that going?
That's very encouraging, Simon. The reason for us to open in Europe, because Amsterdam is a tech hub in Europe, was the fact that we wanted to be close to the best European practice in the technology world. And also, we see opportunity in a number of the products and technology that we've developed in-house that we could export outside our borders. And on top of it, so we haven't seen revenues yet emerge from the opening of our Amsterdam office, but the activity that we have generated is most encouraging. And linked to that, we've just recently bought the Responsive Group in South Africa, which had an offshore operation, which is already profitable. And we've invested in 20% of their shares. And we've provided them with working capital loans to allow them to exploit the opportunities in Europe. And the synergy between our software division and our acquisition with Responsive, both in South Africa and this acquisition in Netherlands, all goes well for some positive exposure now outside our borders.
A lot of folks look at South African tech startups heading into sort of the international markets and think, oh, woe is us. But truthfully, I mean, we have some of the best tech out there. I mean, we can compete on a global playing field. I mean, we have the skill set.
Oh, absolutely. And fortunately, we've taken one or two of our our good people in South Africa who are manning our European operation, exactly as you said, Simon. Tech today, you can operate from any part of the world and be active. Unfortunately, Europe for us is also on a similar time zone, so it makes it much more easy for us to operate rather than in locations which are obviously time varied and different for us.
The balance sheet, no debt, net cash, over $500 million, over $500 million in there. You've been returning money via dividends, and that's been a steady part of the return for shareholders. Mm-hmm. But I'm imagining you're also looking at potential acquisitions with that cash.
Yes. I think one of the key features of our businesses are they are asset light. Mm-hmm. We don't carry traditional big working capital items like inventory and receivables. Even though there was a build-up of receivables at our year-end, which was collected in early April, we are comfortable that the growth in our businesses, on the one hand, they're very strong cash generative, will manifest itself in two forms. One, in healthy dividends. We're proud of the fact in 5 years since we acquired our businesses in 2017, we've generated 990 million rands worth of operating cash flows, and we've paid 373 million to deserving shareholders. And this our cash arsenal is growing, and we're going to do a combination of utilizing that cash to continue to put more investment into our current businesses to generate organic growth. But we're starting to obviously create opportunities in the form of acquisitions, which has obviously manifested itself with the recent synergistic acquisition of the Responsive Group in South Africa.
Yeah, and some others. I mean, the Layup Technologies, which is a sort of a lay-by, but for in-store, but also for e-commerce, which is a small shareholding there. But again, as you say, these are asset-light businesses. We'll leave it there. Alan Solomon, CFO at Capital Appreciation, always appreciate the early morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
My Friday thought, and it was something that Kenyon Yama said yesterday when we were chatting health stocks with him, and I said to him, what about offshore? And he was like, yep, you know what? When we go offshore, your skill set just collapses. There's just too much we don't know. The market is giant. So he just buys the ETFs. And that's what I've always done. I don't hold individual shares offshore. Any individual shares I hold locally, because I have an edge locally, and we can always debate how good that edge is. But, you know, it's a smaller market. It's a market I've known. It's a market I've been investing into for two or three decades. So I've got that sort of knowledge and the like. And I can sort of find that the winners, more or less. As soon as I go offshore, it's such a vast space. And I've always said to myself, you know what, for me, and I think a lot of private clients, it's just easier to go and buy the ETF. And I know, you know, we want to buy the next, the Tesla or whatever the case might be. And Tesla is perhaps an easy example, right? Because, you know, it's EVs, we could see a lot there. But particularly when we start moving into sort of the mid caps, the small caps, it just becomes harder and harder and harder for us as individuals. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I have a knowledge shortfall here when I look offshore. Sure. And yes, I want the exposure, but I'm going to do it with ETFs rather than with individual shares. That's it for today. Talking around care, we were chatting yesterday with him around healthcare stocks. The 3JC listed, it all published their results last week. Mediclinic looking best on the charts, but all of them picking up, all of them seeing bed nights improving. And even if the prices are under some pressure, certainly a lot better position than they were a year or two ago, because one of the ironies of the pandemic was that it was really bad for health providers because we weren't doing elective surgery at all. We asked you, if you were buying or holding healthcare in your portfolio. A third of you were saying, yep, you've got some. Just over half were saying, no, you still think it's risky out there. And I think a part of that risk is probably regulatory risk. And we didn't have time to touch on it yesterday, but there always is that regulatory risk where governments say, hey, man, this healthcare is getting expensive, and bring rules to bear. A tenth of you say, yep, you prefer the offshore. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to our team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole Tzetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. We're going to be talking vehicle sales.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.